Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
My guess is that Jaden Daniels does not play on Sunday. I have no earthly idea for sure what will happen, but for me, it's the, you know, the lack of information. If he were, you know, a strong lean to play because the injury isn't, you know, a big deal at all, I think we would have heard that. Now, you can make the case it's a competitive advantage on a short week for the Raiders to make them prepare for two quarterbacks as long as they possibly can. But the difference in the two quarterbacks or the two offenses stylistically, you know, aren't that vast. I mean, Jaden's a lot better than Marcus Mariota, but the offense isn't going to change that much with Mariota. But I have this feeling that the incredible silence over a very, you know, long weekend of waiting and looking to see if, you know, anybody would have exactly whether or not that MRI happened and why it happened and what the results were. And then just the way that Quinn handled the press conference. Look, this is who they are. And Tom Shad, who was just on with us from the Washington Post, he's spot on. You know, every staff, every organization handles injuries in their own way. This is going to be more like, you know, not exactly Belichick and the Patriots, but it's certainly not going to be what, you know, the Snyder era team was, where literally when I tell you that you'd have multiple people inside that organization fighting to be the first person to leak something to somebody in the media, usually national members of the media, but there was absolutely no structure, no organization, no culture, and no punishment for doing so. That it was truly an S show of the highest order. That's not this group. You know, we learned last year, I mean, they were tight-lipped about these, you know, specifics around Jaden's rib injury. I even asked Quinn 3 weeks ago when he was on, or 2 weeks ago when he was on, going back to that thing when Jaden had admitted with Justin Jefferson and Saquon Barkley in that event that he played with a broken rib. Now, rib and knee, completely different. You know, we understand that as sports fans, but you're just not going to get a lot from them. I just have this sense that if it was a total nothing burger, that I think we'd know that. And we don't know that. And therefore, it's a knee. I think they will err on the side of caution, even if he ends up looking good. By the way, my personal view is, if he's healthy and they don't think it's an issue at all, I'm not just resting him because he might, you know, be at risk. He's at risk every time he goes out there. You got to win this game Sunday. This is actually a pretty important game Sunday for early in the season. You know, considering that their next two games are against the Falcons on the road, they've looked pretty good here in the first 2 weeks, especially on defense and especially Bijan Robinson. And then the Chargers, who are 2-0. That won't necessarily feel like a road game, I don't think, at SoFi. But you kind of got to get this one on Sunday or risk a potentially rough start to the season. So if he's fine, I'm not one of those people that says, oh, well, you know, he's fine, but he's the franchise. You got to err on the side of caution. If there's nothing to be cautionary about, play him. If there's anything to be cautionary about, don't play him. I have a feeling there's probably something that they'd actually prefer to be cautionary about, and he doesn't play. Now, in terms of what's the solution long-term to keep this guy from getting hit as much as he's getting hit, a lot of it's on him. I think on these designed runs, these scrambles, and on some of the option runs, there are opportunities to avoid taking a hit. He doesn't always avoid those opportunities. He's not a guy that's, you know, trying to run people over on every play like Josh Allen. He's not that, and he can't do that because he doesn't have Josh Allen's build. I think, you know, many times he is very wise and smart, but more often than not, he will go for a couple of extra yards. He doesn't seem to mind being tackled as much as he gets tackled. He has been the most hit quarterback last year and through 2 weeks this year. All right, the data is out on that. I think he's got to be a little bit more discerning, especially based on game context. First and 10 in the first quarter is completely different than fourth and six down four in the fourth quarter. You know, on zone reads, he has the opportunity to get to the sideline and maybe not pick up an extra 2 or 3 yards to avoid a hit. If he turns it upfield, he's got the opportunity to slide. I know sliding, sometimes you tend to, you know, put at risk the headshot with somebody that's out there searching for it. I think the QB draws more often than not open field space, middle of the field. You've got a chance to avoid a hit with a slide. I can't stand the quarterback design counters and powers and sweeps. I've talked about that for a year now. Scrambles, you know, he's out there. You know, he's exposed. He's got to make the right decisions, and game context has a lot to do with it. In the pocket, there's only so much you can do. The team's got to protect him better, that's for sure, because he was not protected on Thursday night. So, two-part question. Do you think he'll play Sunday? What happens Sunday? And then secondly, is there a solution to getting him hit less? 301-230-0980. Let's start with Philip in Annandale. Philip, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just don't have patience for this kind of thing at the professional level. I don't even have the patience for it in the college level. I mean, I watched that game last week. It's a one-score game for the most part, as you talked about before. And they run their star quarterback that they ranted and raved about all preseason. Oh, he's the greatest, and he really doesn't even touch the ball. He touches it 4 times, I guess, to give him an appetizer.
You're talking about Bill.
Got the ball 4 times. So it's not a mystery. I think, yeah, you know, he'll run every now and then, but they're running these designed runs as if they don't know anything about running the football with a running back. I don't have patience for that. What's the head coach doing watching the whole game? You know, maybe we should have run it more. Well, what were you doing with the headset standing on the sidelines as a professional coach in the NFL, and you can see what's going on, but maybe he can't see what's going on, and then you don't want to run the ball? You know, the passing game, they make that a little bit of a mystery too. They don't pay attention to what's happening at the moment. They don't run the ball, and then what's wrong with 3 yards a carry, 2nd and 4 once in a while, or 2nd and 3, or I'm sorry, 3rd and 4, or 3rd and 3, 3rd and 2. You can't get that? And if your guys aren't getting open, why aren't they running some quick hitters? Or why aren't they giving the ball to their running backs, you know, in passing situations, just getting them quick hit passes to the running backs, because they'll usually win one-on-ones against linebackers, and you can pick up 5 or 6 yards. Sonny Jurgensen would come off the bench for people. Most people don't know this, but when Billy Kilmer was stinking up the game, nothing was working all game, and Sonny would come in the fourth quarter and have to win the game down 2 scores, and he would do it. Nothing's working all day long. You know what he would do? He'd come out immediately, a 5-yard out pass to Charlie Taylor. The next play is a 5-yard out pass to Willie Jefferson. Then he'd do a 5-yard out pass to Charlie Taylor again. And then all of a sudden, the whole game changed on 3 simple 5-yard out passes. The defense was on its heels. They had to come up on the receiver, and he just ate them alive. Then the running game started working.
Philip,
professional football.
This is an excellent call, but I want to boil it down to this, because I think you're leaning in this direction. They can protect him by running the football effectively and more often, and being a bit more balanced. They were not balanced on Thursday night, that is for sure. And the score of the game was never out of control. By the way, there's no guarantee it would have worked. But I don't disagree that sort of the big takeaway from your call, other than I loved, you know, envisioning Sonny throwing the 5-yard out to 42 and then to 80 on the other side, Roy Jefferson. I love that. And I you know, I'm just old enough to remember some of that. But yeah, running the football, a running game is a quarterback's best friend, and it's protective of the quarterback. I agree with you. Thanks for the call. Good call. Let's go to Ben in Iowa. Ben, do you think he'll play Sunday? And then B, what's the solution to getting Jaden to not take so much so many hits?
Hey, Kevin, I think they'll be safe and not allow him to play. This does unfortunately smell like an RG3 part two, just because of the nature of a running quarterback who's smaller and going to play hero ball. I called 2 weeks ago, and I know everybody was 14 wins. I was in the 9-8 camp because we don't know that we have a running game. And I think that's the solution, is pounding the rock. But why was Eckler starting week one? My thing is, I don't think Bill knows protections well enough. I think that has been out there. I don't know. I think it's just run more, and Jade needs to throw the ball away when it's first, second down, and, you know, not fourth quarter, like you said. So some things need to happen, but it's concerning. It's definitely the dark side to this, something we want to be very excited about, this quarterback, this new franchise that's resurged, but it's the dark side of Jaden, and we're going to have to deal with this throughout his career, you know, missing probably a third of the season on average. So,
well, he didn't miss a third of the season last year. He didn't miss a start last year. He missed the Carolina game after he came out early, and we don't know that he's missed a third of the season. Look, Lamar Jackson's missed some games, and it hurt their seasons. Here's the thing that I don't think should change, and I appreciate the call, Ben. You're not changing the offense, okay? Jaden's greatest, you know, the greatest part of Jaden Daniels is that he can do everything. You're not going to take away a big part of his game, which is his legs. First of all, 21st century, certainly 2025 NFL football, you've got to find mobility in quarterbacks. They've got to be able to extend plays. They've got to be able to make plays with their legs and their arm on the same play. You're never going to take that away. Jaden being a part of the run game, you should never take away. It's a big part of what makes them so hard to defend. I think what you have to reduce is the number of times he gets hit. So running the football and developing a decent run game with your running backs certainly would take some pressure off, especially if you end up, you know, having running backs carry the ball 18, 20, 22, 24 times a game, if you could get that out of your backs. You certainly didn't get that the other night. There were 12 carries. In the opener, it was probably higher than that. I'd have to go back and look, but it was higher than the 12, certainly. But I think overall, there has to be a more discerning approach to Jaden's using of his legs. I think from a play-calling standpoint, for me, I hate the Cam Newton quarterback powers, the Josh Allen quarterback powers, quarterback counters. I just don't think he's got the build for that. You know, he's not going to overpower people. When you see Josh Allen take a snap in shotgun and they pull guards and they're running truly a quarterback counter, which is what they used to do with Cam Newton in Carolina, he can do that. He's a large, physical human being. So was Cam. That's not for Jaden, in my opinion. I understand the benefit of overloading and 11-on-11 in the run game, and you pull those guards and you are out there with, you know, 6-on-5 blocking on one side with Jaden as the ball carrier, and he's a really good ball carrier. But those plays end so often in a pile. So often in a pile. Let's go to our guy Lap. Lap, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Thanks for taking my call, bro. I believe he's going to play, but they still need to make sure that they test him out the rest of the week to make sure, because if he's not ready, go with Mariota. We need to run the football more. I think we need a younger tight end. We got a younger tight end on the roster. We need to use him more. I know we've been using tight ends for blocking purposes, but I thought that if we address the offensive line, that we would use the tight ends more so in the offense, you know, because I think he needs like a safety net, you know, and it's unfortunate with Eckler because, you know, if stuff break down, you could kind of throw it to Eckler if you had a really good tight end, because we're used to having good tight ends. And I like Zach Ertz, but at some point we need to address that position, you know what I'm saying, for sure. And like I said, protect them and run the football. And we need to run a Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur type offense, man. I think it'd be suited better for him. And let me ask you a question, too, about the tush push, Kevin. You said you don't like it and you think it needs to be, the rules need to be changed for it. And
yes, I've been in favor of abolishing that play for a while now.
Well, isn't it like a quarterback sneak in a sense?
No.
Because
it's not like a quarterback sneak. No, because there are two players from behind pushing the quarterback.
Okay, so but on some run plays, don't offensive players push the runner?
Yeah, not from behind the line of scrimmage. You know, not from behind the line of scrimmage in a bunched up scrum. Yeah. By the way, you bring up an interesting point. Like Jalen Hurts as a quarterback sneak guy without the two players or, you know, pushing him from behind would probably be a damn good quarterback sneak QB because of his lower body strength.
Yeah.
But I can't stand the play. I can't stand the formation. I can't stand the way it's not officiated, you know, because essentially there are rule breakers on every single one of those plays. There's no drama in the play because it's a foregone conclusion. That's not what we love about the NFL. It's a television show and it's ruining the television part of it. I think Sunday's game was an abomination to see that thing run six times. And I think the league office is pissed in a big-time way that they didn't vote this thing out before this season. Thanks, Lap. Appreciate it. Let's go to Cam in D.C. Cam, do you think he plays Sunday, yes or no? And do you have a solution to minimizing the hits on Jaden in the future?
What's up, Kevin? I don't think he plays Sunday, but I appreciate you giving me the opt-out and saying I don't have a solution. Because I do think, I mean, if you watch him, especially from the TV broadcast, like he really loves the game of football. Like he's smiling, he's jarring with some of the best defensive ends in the game. Like I think he kind of enjoys the hit, and
I
don't
do
know
too.
What kind of consequences,
I do too.
But it's insane. Like he's really a baller. But I will say, I think some of the social media and national dialogue about it, I think Mina Kime said his play is unsustainable. What I do want to see is the breakdown of his hits both this year and last year on design runs versus scrambles, because last year, you know, didn't have the best pass pro. Receivers not getting separation. I think I've missed your film breakdown so far this year, but I think we're probably seeing the same on the all 22 with receivers not getting separation. So he definitely totally agree with you. He can do a better job of getting out of bounds or sliding on the scrambles. But I do think people are overstating how many design runs. Like to your point, I think the really bad ones are the counters and the powers. But I do think people were actually overstating his use as a running back, so to speak, in the run game. Like I think most of those are, you know, he correctly pulled on a read option when he does it, and then obviously, you know, scrambles from breakdown and pass pros or no one.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of games last year where they called the quarterback, you know, powers and the quarterback counters multiple times in games. That is, you know, that is a designed run play. As are QB draws. We saw a couple of those. In the Giant game, right? I think we did. But the rest of it is scramble and options. You know, something that the last caller mentioned, I think it was Lap, like, you know, maybe there's a different style of offense, and he mentioned the Kyle, you know, LaFleur, McVay, the Shanahan offense. You'd see a lot more under center, okay? You'd see a lot more stretch zone and bootleg off of it where the quarterback comes sort of free off of a good running game. You'd see play action be, you know, even more effective. You know, play action typically is more effective with a quarterback under center because the defense loses sight of the ball on the play fake when the quarterback turns his back to the defense. So some of that, I think... makes sense, but that's not what Kingsbury is running here. And what he ran last year was pretty damn effective. They were one of the best offenses in the league. Look, I think Thursday night, he got hit too much in the pocket. He got hit too much outside of the pocket. They certainly could have protected him better, a lot better in pass pro. And part of that was play calling with perhaps, you know, giving the running game with running backs a little bit more. There's not a lot you can do here other than Jaden making good decisions based on the game context. You don't need to take on tacklers in an open field play in the first quarter on first and 10, you know, in a 0-0 game. But there's no way I would ever want him on fourth and 7 in the fourth quarter down 6 to say, I'm going to protect myself and go out of bounds. No, that's not him. But I do agree with what Cam said. I think a part of him, because he is such a competitor and such a baller, I think he likes the contact. I do. All right. I see everybody on hold. JYD, Lou, Anthony, Billy, Rod, Paulie just jumped on. Stay there. We'll do one more segment of these calls. A, do you think he'll play on Sunday? B, is there a solution that you believe exists to minimize the number of times Jaden's getting hit? If you don't know this, and it is true, there's data out there. He was the most hit quarterback in 2024, and through 2 weeks, he's the most hit quarterback in the NFL through the first 32 games of the season. All right, Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, you are correct. That's just who he is, which I also love about him, by the way. But it is part of, that's my job, you know, to make sure that, one, I'm getting all the information, you know, from the medical side. Is he hitting all the tests? And then you also have to trust your eyes. Where's he at? Where are we going? And so we're just not going to miss it, JP, for he and for any of the guys in that space. So that is the good part of being a competitor, but I'm constantly watching and pushing to see. And then before we even get onto the practice field, they have to go through a pretty strenuous testing to see where they're at even before the actual on-field, you know, reps begin. So that's for he and for a couple of the other guys as well.
Dan Quinn yesterday talking about Jaden Daniels and, you know, making sure they protect him from himself. And I think that's really about this week and making sure that his competitiveness doesn't lead to him getting back out onto the field practice-wise or otherwise earlier than, you know, the medical says he should. 301-230-0980. What we learned yesterday is that from the reporting, not necessarily from Quinn, Jaden's got a sprained knee. We have no idea the severity of the sprained knee. The MRI, according to ESPN, John Keim, revealed no serious damage. Quinn called him day to day. And we'll probably learn much more about his status tomorrow with the first injury report and the first practice, and on Friday when they'll probably have to make the call as to whether or not he will play Sunday against the Raiders. Most spots, if you're interested in this stuff, do not have a point spread on the game right now. The reason being, they don't know who's going to play quarterback. I will tell you this, that Washington was a 6.5 point favorite before yesterday. And when and if the line opens up and you can bet it for real, that line will be closer to pick 'em. Jaden is a 5 or 6 point starting quarterback. It's about as high as it gets. We talked about this a few weeks ago. There was the, I forget who wrote the story, about the value of quarterbacks in the NFL to the point spread, and he was certainly in the top 5, 6, 7 in the league. I think Josh Allen was number one. You know, part of that also includes what the backup situation is. Washington has a capable backup in Marcus Mariota, who was not healthy for much of the summer. I'm assuming he is now. Obviously, he was the backup in the opener and in week 2. All right, the question, two-part. One, do you think he'll play Sunday? Just your hunch. Two, do you think there's a solution? And if so, what is the solution to minimizing the number of hits that Jaden takes? Let's go to our guy Anthony in D.C. Anthony, thanks so much. Go ahead.
Kevin, allow me to be uncoachable for a quick second.
Okay.
All these people talking about wide receiver separation. Wide receiver separation isn't always a one-way street. The quarterback has to have time to throw, thereby giving the receivers time to run the pattern.
Right.
So just for all the people out there that keep harping on receiver separation.
Play design matters too.
Oh, of course. Of course. So as far as will he play, I believe he will. Now, as far as the solution goes, you can make your pick. I know you've heard the saying that some people don't believe it stinks until they smell it. Or you could use FAFO. Basically, it comes down to Cliff, Dan Quinn, and Jaden being sick and tired of getting hit.
Okay.
It comes down to the coach. At some point, Dan Quinn is going to have to say something. You need to get down or get out of bounds, one of the two. The other caller said Jaden Knight's getting hit. Maybe that's true. But if he keeps getting hit hard enough, he's going to get tired of getting hit. Same with Cliff, the way he calls plays. He sees Jaden getting hit. Call different plays. Call plays that run him to the side more, not straight up the middle. Or tell him, the first time you see somebody within 2 feet of you, slide. That's what it's going to come down to.
Thanks, Anthony. Yeah, appreciate it. Good call. Let's go to Rod in Landover. Rod, go ahead. Rod, you there? Hello, Rod. Put Rod on hold. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy.
What's up?
L to the W, man. How you doing?
I'm good.
All right, man. Hey, I'm going to say this, man. Look. This is about play calling, context of the game, personnel, and listen, Jaden, this is football, man. He's going to take hits. But they got to do a better job of knowing the why. And what your man Lavero say? Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Right.
Was the juice worth the squeeze to go get that last touchdown? And we've seen this last year and this year. When the game is out of context, out of reach, why are we putting them out of harm's way? And they do this a lot with him.
They did it in the opener last year against Tampa. I thought that was absurd. Yeah.
They did it in the preseason last year. When he had the rib injury, whatever injury it was, I know you don't believe it was broken rib, but whatever it was, they didn't deviate from the offense, ran the same offense. I mean, at some point, they got to realize, like you said, he don't have the body of Cam Newton and Jalen Hurts. Well, I don't know. Maybe Cliff got burgundy and gold glasses and think he do. Because we all, it's obvious to us. Why I don't understand why it's not obvious to them, man. It's like, I don't know. They have to say that Jaden, they have to protect Jaden better than what they're doing. Basically, what I'm saying, man. And also with personnel, you see, homeboy right tackle was getting beat like a drum Thursday night. He struggled a little bit against the Giants. Help him out. I mean, it's not just one solution that's going to minimize these hits. You know, it's like everybody said, the running game. I mean, it's almost like a combination of three different things that actually could come from the coaching staff that can minimize his hits. But you can't take the football out of Jaden. I mean, he's not like RG3, where RG3 was a pinata out there.
Right.
He's not a pinata.
No, he's not.
You know,
he's agreed.
He's just trying to make a play. And sometimes in making a play, you know, things happen. But he shouldn't be trying to make a play when you're down two scores with 4 minutes left.
You know what? That is, per usual, the first point you made was your best point, and then it was diminishing returns. I'm kidding, of course, because I think you're everything you said. I agree with everything you said. I'm just having fun with you. But you know what? I'm really pissed at myself for not suggesting that they pulled him in the game on Thursday night. And if not pulled him, then didn't have him out there at risk, because it was 27-10. You couldn't protect him. People weren't getting open. You're not winning that football game. It is a 1 out of 100 situation that you're winning that football game. It's a short week. It's week 2. You've already seen him get blown up multiple times in the game. And by the way, if they knew that he had the knee injury on the first play of the fourth quarter, which, by the way, I don't think they did. That's my guess. Yeah, we should have seen either a majorly conservative approach to the end of that game or pull him on the short week. Absolutely.
Hey, Sheen.
Yeah.
Sheen, I said the same thing about Austin Eckler. Same type of thing. He got hurt under 2 minutes left. Why the hell was he in the game? You know he's injury prone and one concussion away from his career being over. Why was he in the game? I mean, that's a perfect opportunity to give Bill some experience. Everybody loves Bill, you know? So I think if this coaching staff has to do a better job of coaching and managing this team. You know, I don't think that's happening right now. So,
looking back, 27-10, at 17-10, the score indicated that it was a close game. It never felt like it was a close game.
And when they
when they scored with, 8 minutes to go to make it 24-10, when they kicked the field goal to make it 27-10 with like 6 minutes to go, game over, Jaden doesn't play, Eckler doesn't play. We put Marcus in the game and we put Bill in the game and let Bill run, three times, and if they move the chains, great. If not, punt it. Let's get the hell out of Dodge and live for another day. That's exactly how they should have handled it. And if you go back to the opener last year, Kingsbury pretty much admitted after that Tampa Bay game, when he was running Jaden on designed runs, on option runs, down 37 to whatever it was. They were getting there. There was no chance of winning that football game. And he's down there at the goal line running zone reads and getting smacked around. They absolutely should have considered that, especially short week. You weren't winning that football game, down 27-10. Good call.
That's all right. How I see it, man. Hail to the W.
Yep, see you. David's calling from Arkansas. David, do you think he'll play Sunday, and is there a solution to minimizing the number of hits he takes?
I think he'll play. I'll be fine if he doesn't. I'll be fine if he does play. The solution is, especially for last Thursday, they should have ran more 22 personnel, even 32 personnel.
You've got 32 personnel, yes.
Pass rushers. Oh, load it up, brother.
Think about full this. House backfield.
I mean, not every play, but yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I'd rather see that than them continue to line up five wide when you have a team that's only rushing four and getting instant pressure.
Yes.
It wasn't like people keep making the comparisons to RG3. How many times did we watch Cooley do the breakdowns and show Griffin holding the ball for six or 7 seconds and then throw his team on the bus? Jaden was getting instant pressures.
No doubt.
And I'm thinking, like, as good as we know Jaden is and how well he played last year, we praise him for being so smart, making good decisions. Who else could have done any better behind in those circumstances? Going five wide with basically one Mississippi, and you got to get rid of the ball. And as far
one
as like people saying he should,
yeah,
I mean that's basically what it was, Kev. And you think about this.
It wasn't five wides consistently, but they could not go. When Bates left the game, there was really no more 12 personnel. They decided that they weren't going to run the football, and that would have been the best protection. And, I don't disagree.
And I think that was a poor decision because, how many tight ends did we have for the game? Did we not have any more tight ends to put in?
Well, we had Sinnott. We had Sinnott, we had Ertz, we had Bates, and we had Yankoff, who was out there. But the fact that Ben Sinnott, after Bates left after nine snaps, only played three snaps the rest of the way is a little bit of an indictment on Sinnott, with one exception. It is possible that Sinnott wasn't, ready on a short week to take the 12 personnel, plays, part of the playbook. And it may not be that they didn't have confidence in him, and it may be he didn't get the reps, and he'll get the reps, obviously, this week heading into the game against the Raiders. Thanks, David. Appreciate the call. Let's go to JYD. JYD, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin?
What's up?
Well, he's going to – more likely he'll play. Hello,
go ahead, slow down.
Yeah, basically what happens is that he will probably play simply because of his, that's the type of player he is.
Right.
However, they need to, put him more on the center. And a whole lot of people have said the same thing. He needs to be more on the center, because on the center, you can do so many other more things or whatever. You can do more play action. And your drop doesn't have to be, you can do, quicker drops and whatever, and you can still see the field, whatever. Having said that or whatever, the guy at right tackle is Adam Peters' guy. Now, Adam Peters, to me, I know everybody's going to say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Adam Peters is a stubborn guy, and he has something to prove. He wants to make sure that this is his pick, and he wants to make sure that this guy is out there and not considered a failure. Okay, he's probably not a failure, but you need to put a more seasoned guy out there or whatever. Now, as far as Sinnott goes, you all love him. It doesn't take rocket science to get out there. You've been and play tight end if you're supposed to be so good.
Mm-hmm. Look, on your Adam Peters stuff, thanks, JYD, as always, for the call. Adam Peters is not making the call once he handles the roster on who plays and how much. That better not be his call. Those are coaching decisions that they've got to make. I do think that Connerly Jr. is a talent. We'll find out whether or not he, is worthy and was worthy of a first-round pick, not after two games, but after, a minimum of 2 years of games. Let's go to Lou in D.C. Lou, does he play Sunday? And do you have any ideas or solutions for minimizing the number of times Jaden Daniels is getting hit in games? Go ahead.
What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, Lou.
If it was up to me, I'd say hell no. Nah. I'll set him for the next 3 or 4 weeks because...
Why?
I mean, number one, it's still early in the season. I want him to be 100%. And
what if he is 100%, though?
Kevin, what I saw on that Thursday night...
What if he's 100% next week? You'd sit him against the Falcons?
If he's 100%, then I let him go. But if he's trying to tell him 100%, and he wants to go out there and get hurt, and it's kind of like a deja vu again back in 2011, 2012 season with RG3. So I don't want that situation to happen. I want him, for the long run. I want him to be healthy. I want him to have a good career. I saw like the last couple of weeks. The play calling sucks. I mean, this guy's doing a quarterback draw when you're down by 10 in the third quarter. I mean, I just don't get it. And I just felt like they're not protecting him. I mean, they're not running the ball and they're not helping the rookie left tackle. I mean, if you got to go sub him and put somebody else, it's okay. But don't get Jaden killed out there for some, you're trying to get the W and you want to look good for your resume and things like that. I don't like it. And I just felt like they need to be like Paulie said, they need to be better at coaching. They're not coaching right now. They are like,
well, Paulie had the best point of anybody today. Why was he in the game down 27-10 with 6 minutes to go? And the game is over. The game is over, especially the context being you couldn't protect, you couldn't get open, and you decided you weren't going to run the football in the second half. By the way, you couldn't get off the field on defense. So those are the situations where I think they've got to be a little bit smarter. If it's a game that you've been moving the ball up and down the field and you're down 17 with six to go and you think you can score quickly and you can get a stop, I mean, you know, but that game on that night, it was one-sided and he was at risk in the game from the start because of the pressure and the lack of protection. Why is he in there down 27-10? I'm all for, you know, the hyper-competitive quarterback and coaching staff and the whole thing, but there is a point in time in which your guy is getting absolutely torn up in the pocket and outside it. Let's live to fight another day. Thanks, Lou. Let's go to Billy. Billy, go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Kevin, does the Philadelphia Eagle team run the tush-push against Sean Taylor?
I don't... again...
If Sean Taylor was still on the field, you would not be able to run the tush-push.
Wait, he blew up a punter in the
because
Pro
the
Bowl
whole
game,
world
so, yeah,
would know.
Yeah. Okay.
The whole world knows that the ball carrier is the quarterback, and when Sean Taylor knows what's going to happen, the player is going to get closed out.
What do you say? And what do you say about Jaden? Will he play Sunday? Do you have a solution?
You've got to focus on punishing the quarterback. The way they line up doesn't make any sense. The whole Jaden thing is we've somehow miraculously, our team who suffered for 30 years, landed the goose that lays the golden egg. This guy is the best quarterback in the history of the league. And you don't have Dan Marino running options, RPOs, and you don't have Peyton Manning running RPOs. This guy can throw the ball just like those two guys. So what you do, Cliff, is you take all those pages in your 600-page playbook and throw them away. Throw them away. And for the next 15 years, we'll have one of the best quarterbacks that ever played the game throwing the ball all over the field. And let him pick his spots where he needs a first down on 3rd and 14 and go out and get it. The idea that he is a ball carrier in this offense is obscene. It is absolutely it's negligent to have him carrying the ball like a running back. He is the best quarterback that can be that ever played, and he's running the ball like a running back.
Well, negligent. Look, you know I'm going to disagree with you, but also agree with you. I think that he's not, you know, a running back. This is not the same as a true dual threat only quarterback. He is a great pocket passer. He has the ability to do that. But when you have a quarterback with that kind of ability, you've got to take that incredible advantage of presenting him as a run threat, and for him to be a legitimate run threat, occasionally he's got to run the football, designed runs, option runs, etc. You'd never want to take away his ability to extend plays. You'd never want him to be Peyton Manning.
What has that done for Baltimore? What has it done for Baltimore?
Do you really want to go there?
It's done nothing.
What do you? They've got the best. They've got, I think, other than Kansas City, the best win percentage in the regular season, and then they are there fighting for it in the depths of the playoffs every year. But yes, he has not played well in the postseason. Lamar Jackson has not.
Three more parades
with Flacco.
With the other quarterback, Flacco. They'd have three more parades.
See, I love Flacco too, but there aren't three more parades had he stayed the quarterback. Let's go to our guy Ba. Ba, go ahead.
What's going on, Kevin?
What's up, Ba?
Man, Kevin, I'm going to another angle. First of all, I'm praying he play. But Kevin, even if he doesn't play, Kevin, I'm going to the free agent. Because Kevin, we brought Tarsal here, hoping this guy gonna sit down. Tarsal was some trash Sunday. And I cannot understand you bring somebody and get him all that money to protect the blind side of the quarterback and this guy like he's missing. Connolly, I'm going to give him a pass. You know why, Kevin? Because he was moved from left to right. So that means he's the future. I'm not happy about Tussle. And I'm putting it on Peter.
because Peter is the one going over there and say this guy's gonna take us over there. And on the top of that, Clifford gotta use Rodriguez. Sometimes we need some tough yaw. This young kid is good, the rookie. But you need them tough yaw. Edmund signing is not the solution. So if they cannot beat the Raiders on Sunday, Peter gonna have to explain himself. I'm a holler y'all.
Thanks, appreciate it. I would like to see Rodriguez. I'd like to see Bill. I'd like to see an attempt to run the football. I'll tell you, last night the Chargers were not very effective with the rookie from North Carolina, Hampton, or Najee Harris running the football. It was basically all Justin Herbert throwing the football in that game. In the opener, the Raiders faced the Patriots, and on the ground in that game, the Patriots did nothing on the ground. Literally nothing. So the Raiders have in their first two games stopped the run pretty effectively. It's just two games. We'll see. But yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more of Bill and a little bit more of Rodriguez. I'd like to see some Rodriguez, actually. DC, Akakeek. DC, finish it up for us. Go ahead.
Great day, Kevin, man. I'm disappointed in the coaching staff, particularly the play calling. I watched that defense all game come with that speed and aggression. We didn't run the ball to get our guys to use their aggression against them. And Jaden, he plays if he's 100%. If he's out there with that bulky lineman,
nope,
RG3 knee brace, he better not be on the field. If he's on the field, Peters all the way down need to be let go. But I don't see that happening. He plays if he's 100% and shows them this week he can move the way he normally moves, because we also see that the lineman had trouble protecting him. And these injuries aren't coming when he's running and using his eyes to protect himself. Even the times he does the little fake get out of bounds and get a people yeah. hit him, but they don't get a clean hit. They graze him because he can see and he can get toward his body to get the 1 yard or so. He was trying to escape the pocket, and he doesn't escape out the back of the pocket. He climbs the pocket like he's supposed yeah. to, continue right. to look downfield, and then he tries to use his wiggle to get away, and his line isn't protecting him. So you protect him with the run game, and you use your running backs to do it. They didn't do that last week, and that was so disappointing to me throughout the whole game.
I think they should have tried it.
I look forward to them correcting.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate the call. I think they should have tried it. I don't know if it would have worked, but I would have preferred to have seen something to try to take the pressure off Jaden Daniels, because they certainly did not do a great job protecting him. All right, 12 noon, 10 minutes away from, I think you're going to enjoy Steve Suter and his film breakdown of Washington Green Bay from Thursday night. We'll talk a little bit about the two Monday night games that we have not talked about yet, including Baker Mayfield doing it for a second straight week. That's next.
All right, happy Tuesday. It is September 16th. Dan Quinn announced yesterday that Jaden Daniels had an MRI after Thursday Night Football versus the Packers and is day-to-day with a knee sprain, putting his status for Sunday in jeopardy. The Nats, they fall to the Braves by a score of 11-3 last night. Tough time to be Mitch Parker as he pitched 5 innings, giving up 10 hits and 6 earned runs. The Nats, they will reset for a doubleheader versus Atlanta today. First game at 1:05. Jake Irvin on the bump for Washington. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 12:35 on the Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us, and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
15-yard scramble from Baker Mayfield on 4th and 10 on the game-winning drive. They went down there. He was great. Rashad White ended up getting the run to put them ahead 20-19. He became the second quarterback in Tampa Bay Bucks history to open up the season with two consecutive game-winning drives. He did it last week against Atlanta. Since Doug Williams was the quarterback in Tampa Bay in 1980. They've had some good quarterbacks over the years, you know, including Tom Brady recently. We will talk about Tom Brady before the end of this show. Did you see him in the coach's booth last night for the Raiders with the headset on? Definitely seems to be some conflicts there with Brady. Great game, the first game last night. Tampa Bay wins it 20-19. Baker Mayfield is off to an outstanding start to this season. Last night, 25-38 for 215, two touchdowns, no interceptions, but he had three huge runs, scrambles for 33 yards, including that 15-yarder on 4th and 10. Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers 2-0 for the fifth straight year. I'll tell you, the Bucs, you know, whether it was the Brady era or without Brady, Todd Bowles at the helm, they have started off quickly. Their defense is healthy. It's good. I think, Max, you picked them to be in the NFC Championship game, Buccaneers, and to be the one seed.
You had them as
the one seed. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very high Bucs on them. They continue to prove me right. Let's hope it continues.
The MVP odds have been updated, as they are constantly updated. Josh Allen 1, Lamar Jackson 2 in terms of the top two guys. Allen's plus 310 in most spots on average. Jackson plus 350. Then Justin Herbert is 3rd. Jordan Love 5th. Jaden 5th. Jaden Daniels and Baker Mayfield at plus 2,000 is the 6th pick to win the MVP. But a good win for the Buccaneers. They have the Jets this weekend, and then really a titanic game in Week 4 against the Eagles. The Eagles are playing a couple of 1 o'clock games here in the next 2 weeks. The Rams, 1 o'clock, and then the Buccaneers at 1 o'clock. This is a Fox doubleheader week upcoming, and they got the Bears and the Cowboys in that spot instead of the Rams and the Eagles. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. But it's the way they scheduled it. But, man, the Eagles with the Rams and Bucks the next 2 weeks. Rams at home, Bucks on the road. The second game last night, Raiders and Chargers. I'll be honest with you, I fell asleep at halftime. I tried. Geno Smith threw 3 picks in this game. Let me just mention one thing that stood out about the Raiders. Ashton Jeanty just looks so small on the football field. I know he is height, you know, deficient at 5'8", 5'9", but he looks thin. You know, I thought he was a bit tougher and bulkier looking. He's listed at 210. He doesn't look that, and he has not gotten off to a great start. In fact, they really struggled with him in pass protection. It begs to the question, do you really take a running back at number 6 overall that you are going to have off the field for a lot of the game because you're not good enough in pass protection? Look, he's young. There's a long way to go here. It's just 2 games. But through 2 games, 30 carries, 81 yards, 2.7 yards per carry. That's it. By the way, his 5 pass receptions in 2 games have amounted to 3 total yards, or 6/10 of a yard per pass reception. Early struggles for the number 6 pick, Ashton Jeanty. The Raiders come into town. The biggest issue with the Raiders will be their defense. Washington's going to get a 3rd straight solid defensive team to open up the season, of course, led by Max Crosby. All right, when we come back, you're going to hear a very, very good film breakdown of Washington's game against Green Bay. That's next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.